wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, that's part right. It's kings of sports radio, Lance and Dell. John is being held in another country against his will. He's texting me. Actually, this is who John was yesterday. Guy who texts pictures from his dinner to me and said, look at me. I'm at a shui foo foo. He called it a 5-Michelin-star restaurant in the country where he's in. It doesn't go higher than 3. But he goes, it's so good they said it was 5. Trust me. And so he was taking pictures of things that John would make fun of anyone else for having. But when he's having it, it's cool.
You know, when he's...
This pears, black truffle, and spinach. Suck it.
He becomes a real basic bitch when he's on vacation.
Yeah.
Like, he's just taking pictures.
Well, it's because Wendy does run. Wendy runs him.
Yeah,
and he says that.
He's a kept man. I know that. But when it's either he's on a golf course and he's sending us pictures. Thank God he left me and Raheel out of it. It didn't make the Glory Boys text string. But
right.
He becomes like an Instagram influencer. Look where I am. But they would be nicer about it, like just living life. Like they would put that caption on or something, like I'm hashtag blessed or something like that. Him is like, hey, what did Philip Lindsay call the Texans at one point? Scumbuckets?
Well, yeah.
Hey, scumbuckets, look where I am.
Guess where you are, right here. Yeah. The 17th hole of, like, he always does that. Or he'll text us from Cabo and like, look at this, like,
yeah.
No one else. He tries to rub your nose in things, which, you know, that I think about, that's probably what that is, because I'm a food guy. I like to go out and have tasty.
That's exactly
what he was.
He did that to you.
He did it just directly to me.
Yeah, because
he
knows unless he's eating, he's at some spicy chicken festival, I won't care.
You're not going to catch it.
So he's sending stuff to you about Michelin
ratings. Did you get anything, Tyler?
No, I didn't, but it just sounds like he's just trying to assert his dominance over you.
Yeah, no, he's always a dog pissing all over a side of a house. So that I smell John in here. Oh, he's marked his territory. Look, he's had spinach and pears.
Spinach.
And black truffle.
Some olive oil and call him out the olives. Spinach. What are you talking about?
Well, that was what he had. He took a picture and sent me a picture of what he's eating. So John's doing that. He'll be back. He'll be back and then I'll be gone, although I'll be on the radio from Indianapolis. More about that later. Maybe a less eventful combine, but we'll get to that. The story of the weekend, I guess, was one of the stories. There's actually several for us to get to today. By the way, welcome back, Dell, to from the Super Bowl.
I didn't go to the Super Bowl. I saw a
keepsake that made me think.
No, I was given a gift from the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you actually went.
All right, my bad. Because, you know, the National Sports Map site sent people out there, and I was given a keepsake.
Okay. I thought, never mind. I had a whole segment planned. I'll scratch it out.
I mean, if I went Super Bowl, I would have
looked. What your Super Bowl experience is like?
If I had gone to Super Bowl, I would have sent you a picture and look where I am.
Yeah.
Look where I am.
How's your picture? Yeah. How's your seat?
I hear it's cold in Houston right now. Something stupid like that.
How's your seat?
Yeah.
So there's actually several stories to get to. We'll get to the Juwan Howard story in the next segment. The All-Star Game weekend. This used to be, when I was growing up, this was a huge, huge thing for me. Personally, because I love the three-point contest. I really love the dunk contest. And, of course, you always love to see guys like Drexler and Dream, your hometown players, playing in an all-star game. And I think that – and now I'm trying to live through my kids, because my son Mason didn't go to CCE last night because he wanted to watch all-star game. And I told my wife, that's fine.
What is that?
This is something you ski – it's a Catholic – you just it's like continuing legal education. It's like you just have to keep going.
Do you practice exorcisms then?
No, you don't practice exorcisms. It's to learn to be a Catholic.
A better Catholic.
Okay? Yeah. Snacks was going to go. He went in, saw that they weren't having pizza, and went out and said, yeah, I'm going home with Mason.
Only
my daughter went.
Do you go there and make that smoke that they swing?
No, you don't do the smoke that they swing.
Like in Face Off?
Yeah. What do you do there? Practice lighting candles? What goes on at continuing education?
That's incense, by the way.
Incense.
It's not smoke you're burning. That's for the Pope.
Yeah, what's the frankincense and myrrh thing?
If you'd like to come to a CCE thing on a Sunday night.
Are they going
to
have pizza?
6:30. Well, if not, snacks is out because he wasn't going to sit around for a turkey sandwich. So he went back home and Motti stayed. And I told Mason, that's the kind of thing you skip. You skip for Super Bowl, but you...
Not for
I
the love All-Star skip for game.
I let him because Mason is a huge basketball fan. So he... So we all watched, and I watched the three-point shootout. Maybe had a little action on three-point shootout.
Not
and,
a surprise.
And dunk contest. So here are some things to get into from All-Star Weekend. Number one, three-point shootout is it's the best event, and they've actually made changes, especially over the last 5 years, that I think are really good changes where you can pick and choose where you want to, you know, put your three-point rack, your money ball rack, the whole rack is a money ball rack. So you have a chance to have a lot more points. Now they have the Mountain Dew basket, you know, about now Mountain Dew shots. It's a bright green basketball that's between the top of the key and the, you know, on the, whatever the angle's called that you shoot from. It used to be elbow extended, but it's not elbow extended, but so they have one three-point ball that you can make from there. Super bright green, feels like it's radioactive or something, and that's worth 3 points. You should score a lot of points. That's what they wanted to add scoring. And the longest shot on the board, Carl Anthony Towns, 6'11". He is the second tallest player to ever win a three-point shootout. You can probably guess number one.
Who? Dirk?
Dirk.
Yeah.
Dirk's the tallest player, but at 13-1, he was the longest shot. And but the three-point shootout was I think it's still a really good event. On the other hand, the dunk contest, it was the worst that I have only missed probably three of them. I still check them out. You can easily see better dunks on YouTube. It's not hard. This was, without question, the worst event that I have ever seen, sporting event that I think I have ever seen.
Worse than the three-point shootout the 790 had?
It wasn't 790. It was me and another host.
From 790,
I made 9 of 25 from NBA distance, which
uh-huh.
I was
fine. What did the other host do?
Not as good.
Yeah.
Not as good. I mean an organized professional event, not an amateur event.
I mean, I saw that. That was
technically
pretty, pretty awful.
Okay, technically that was better than that. Yeah, technically the slam dunk contest was better than that.
Okay.
I'll give you that. But this one started off, you knew it was going to be problems. Now, Jalen Green was the even money favorite.
How did that work out?
Not great. He took a minimum score on his first dunk because he took, I think, 7 chances to make a dunk that he couldn't make instead of just going with something that was easy to make. It started off appropriately enough with Cole Anthony really feeling himself like he was the most important person in Cleveland the whole weekend. He spent 10 minutes lacing up Timberlands that he's
from Portland.
Timberlands, actually. Timberland is the DJ.
What's he doing?
Is he from Portland?
Yeah, what's he doing?
Well, his dad is Greg Anthony, so he had to wear his dad's New York Greg mm-hmm. Anthony stuff. That's why. So he was, his dad is Greg Anthony, former basketball player, played it,
yeah,
obviously. For the great Jerry Tarkanian UNLV Rebel teams. That's what he's most famous for. Then comes New York Knicks. He wore his dad's jersey. Then, as an homage to New York.
Well, he was born in Portland because, you know, Greg played there. And then, yeah. I guess, when Greg moved or got traded to New York or however that went down, he grew up in New York.
Yeah, he probably grew up in New York. Yeah. So he's wearing his Tim's out there as his homage to New York. And that's a very New York thing to do. The problem is the lace-up of the Tim's took an inordinate amount of time. Obi Toppin at one point stood up and started pointing to his watch.
Do you think he's never worn Tim's before, and that's why?
I feel like he has. You probably should have just come out with the Tim's.
Yeah.
The whole idea of I'm going to put these on. So he did that, which it took forever, which immediately meant your dunks better be really good. It took him 4 dunks before he finally got the dunk in he wanted. Super anticlimactic. Then comes Jalen Green. Eventually, Jalen Green comes out, puts on a giant chain with a telephone that has him dunking, which I think is supposed to be an NFT. I think it was supposed to be an NFT. So it's an NFT of him with different highlights of him dunking that he's wearing, but he just wears it around, but he doesn't dunk with it on. He just wants you to see it. Probably got paid a bunch of money from some NFT place, I'm assuming. Took it off. then proceeded to take, I think it was seven chances of the same dunk. Josh Christopher lobbing something up from behind the backboard, and he was trying to catch it, go between his legs, and dunk it. He missed every attempt and got minimum score on it, which was six times. No, actually, he got a 37 or 38. I think he ended up doing a different dunk.
Is that the most embarrassing Houston-related All-Star moment ever? Can you think of one that's worse?
No, that was the most embarrassing.
Like where you're like, calm. Oh,
he was the favorite and was eliminated in the first round because he wasn't smart enough to just do a regular windmill dunk that would have got him 42 points and kept him alive.
If you're going to do that.
That's all you got to do.
Put your G League Ignite jersey on if you're going to do that. Don't wear any Houston-related
stuff. I in the middle of it, I'm just like, come on home. I just tweeted, come on home. This isn't worth it. It was the worst. There were so many missed dunks. It was absolutely terrible. Dwayne Wade at the end was giving people sixes. He wasn't even in the judges booth. He just, on the panel, he basically was just saying, and he's famous for having the horrific judging.
He's famous for getting it correct and having his ex-teammate, Derrick Jones Jr.'s win.
He basically fixed it.
Who cares? It's a dunk contest.
And so that it cost me money. And then
of course it did.
Well, but that was real money I should have won. Well, I was on the right side of that.
Maybe don't bet on the dunk contest.
It was absolutely terrible. Now, here's some other events that came out, some other things that you need to know about. Steph Curry was the MVP of the dunk contest, of the All-Star game. He scored 50, had 16 threes. And I will tell you, he had threes from so far out that you couldn't believe it. At one point, he hit three in a row. One of them he shot from about 34 feet. As soon as he launched it, he turned around and started walking down the court staring at everybody, staring at Trae Young, who was right there, and it splashed in. It was one of the cooler, I know you're a cynic, so you probably hated it, but it was one of the cooler All-Star moments.
It was fine.
Out there.
I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down going crazy, but
it was
our
fine. Family was. We appreciate good three-point shooters. By the way, he was booed vociferously every time he was introduced. That is a Western Conference team in an Eastern Conference team city. He's from Akron, which I didn't even realize. And so LeBron got cheered.
Did he break their heart more than LeBron did?
No, that's what's weird.
I know he beat you in the finals a couple times, but LeBron destroyed your city and your franchise.
Twice.
And they've recovered better than they did the last time. They're actually a good team this year, but LeBron, who used the entire All-Star weekend to set up his return to Cleveland, as long as they draft his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, any NBA team out there, just let you know, I'm going to play with my son.
Yeah, we're gonna hit on that later, too, because that's one of the people now are going to have to answer some hard questions, because LeBron really laid it out there. Like, I always knew that was probably the case, but he laid out a definitive pathway for that to happen. And I assume anybody.
How old is Bronny?
Bronny is what, 2 years from coming? A year from
so
coming?
So he'd have to spend a year. It's still a rule where you have to spend a year.
Yeah.
So
for right now, we'll see if the
NBA. We'll see if
the
they
NBA
change it for LeBron.
So
and Bronny.
We'll hit on that at 7:45, but we'll dig into that. And then Chris Paul. This did not happen in the All-Star game, but Chris Paul, who injured himself against the Rockets, it turns out he has an avulsion fracture in his right thumb. He is out 6 to 8 weeks, and then they will reevaluate. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, and then they will reevaluate. But Chris Paul, this one was surprising to me. Not that it's dangerous, but Chris Paul actually played in the All-Star game with his thumb in basically a wrap before it goes to a cast, or it may have been a soft cast. He played just so he could. He was looking for an assist so he could actually hit the stat chart, and then he went out of the game. Instead, he had a turnover. He shot once. He passed once. The shot was missed, and then he had a foul. Well, that technically hits the
hits the
stat chart. There was a timeout called, and Chris Paul is out of the game.
Yeah, so the tweet was
he wanted to play in an All-Star
Chris
game.
Chris Paul will play, and both teams are aware of the injury. Like pretty much, hey, we're going to leave Chris alone. Let him get his stat in. No one touch him just in case we exacerbate
probably
the injury.
Probably no one wanted him to be there since he's not one of the better light players at the All-Star game.
Well,
not a lot of people are down with Chris Paul. But so that's an interesting one from a basketball standpoint that you're looking at a good 6 weeks to 2 months on Chris Paul for the team that has the best record in the NBA. So that was something that was interesting. Probably the most interesting thing of the whole weekend happened yesterday afternoon. It was when Big Ten basketball was over. Well, it technically got interesting at the end of the game between Michigan and Wisconsin, and a scrap broke out involving Juwan Howard. When we come back, we'll tell you what happened, and we've got sound from Juwan Howard, Greg Gard, the head coach of Wisconsin, and you'll get to hear how it went down on the court. We've got CBS's call when we come back. So you'll definitely want to hear this one because there's a lot of debate going on right now about what should happen to Juwan Howard. It's 7:15 here on the bench. It's Lance, it's Delve. You guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. And, of course, hit us up at DelV2 and at Lance Zierlein right here on Twitter. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So yesterday, Wisconsin was busy wiping out at home, wiping out Michigan. Wisconsin's got a pretty good basketball team. And Michigan does too. I mean, truth be told, Big Ten basketball, if you like college basketball, can be pretty fun to watch. It's relatively, it's competitive. And that's one of those, that's a rivalry. There's a lot of rivalries in the Big Ten, which is one of the reasons that they have the silver bucket, the crazy straw, the oaken handle,
oaken bucket,
Floyd of Rosedale. The fighting over pieces of wood.
There's an axe that a Wisconsin game features.
There's buckets, there's pitchers, there's handles of things, there's screws, there's all kinds of there's kayaks. A lot of things that the winner gets to bring home. I think there's a prima nocta thing. I don't even know.
No, the but winner
between
of, the winner
Northwestern
of the,
and Illinois has
the winner
a prima
of the
nocta
Iowa thing. Indiana game doesn't get to have sex with everyone's on the opposite team's girlfriends. That's not how that
works. Well, we don't know that, but I figured the Illinois thing does between Illinois and Northwestern. But listen, this is what happened yesterday. At the end of the game, here was the beef. There was. Apparently, Wisconsin probably wasn't too excited that Michigan was grinding on full court press when they were down by a lot. That's considered an unwritten rule. And then Wisconsin called a timeout with just a few seconds left. And there was a reason for it. And you'll hear it for a second. But that's also considered an unwritten rule that pissed off Juwan Howard. So a couple of unwritten rules happen. Never mind the fact that everyone makes fun of baseball for their unwritten rules, but then basketball apparently has these major unwritten rules that should be taken very seriously. That's what I found out. Keep the same energy, first of all. If you don't like unwritten rules in baseball, go ahead and not like them in college basketball too. Keep on pressing. Keep calling timeouts whenever you want. Unwritten rules, take them all out if that's what we're going to do. But here's the end of the game. What happened at the end of the game is Wisconsin's Greg Gard knew that Juwan was a little salty. Juwan pulls down his mask and says, "I'm going to remember that." And then Greg Gard tries to – I'm setting up the visual for you. Greg Gard, the head coach of Wisconsin, stops him, grabs him by the arm, stops him, and says, "Hey, hey." And he was trying to explain why he called a timeout at that particular time because he knew that Juwan was pissed. Now, did he call it for that reason or was he just pissed at – Michigan was still pressing down double digits with not much time to go. I don't know, but Juwan didn't like Greg Gard holding him up. Juwan put his hands on Greg Gard. Greg Gard kind of put him back on him. And then in comes assistant Joe Krabbenhoff, who I guess is a Wisconsin legend.
Well, yeah, he's an ex-player. I guess a tough guy for Wisconsin. I didn't know. I just know that Sam Decker.
Doesn't look small. It looks like
he's 6'7".
Yeah.
Sam Decker tweeted about it, former Wisconsin player. John Luehr tweeted about it. They all were like, "Juwan, don't know what he's getting into."
You describe what Juwan, does. So Juwan gets put, they get separated. This assistant's just there kind of chirping a little bit from Wisconsin. Juwan is behind a group of people, comes around the side, and you can see he just impulse anger flashed, mm-hmm. and you can say what he did.
He kind of mushed him, grabbed his, kind of like grabbed his face. He mushed his face.
It's a half slap,
he was like,
grab. It started as maybe a punch, but
then
he turned
to kind of realized maybe a punch ain't great right
now.
Yeah,
at some point he caught a snap.
So he was like,
open hand, tried to basically, He tried to grab his face and crumple it up like this a piece
of
paper.
This is what I was going to say. You know, like when you drink a water bottle and you want to put some emphasis on crushing it, this is kind of what he did to his face, like an empty...
Or a can of beer.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that. You don't drink beer.
No, I don't drink beer.
Tyler, kind of like a can of beer, right? When you go... When you crunch it real quick.
Like you got something done here and you want everyone to know you did. So you you crumple up that beer
Juwan's
can.
Juwan's got big hands.
Yeah.
It's not big enough to take a water head and crumple it up, but that's like what he was doing here. And he came down with good force. It was a physical move. Here's the call during the handshake line and then the ensuing. And a melee did break out to an extent. There was actually a player that I want to point out that threw several punches.
A Wisconsin player got involved and threw a couple, and then the Abate from Michigan was like, nah,
yeah.
I got you.
He threw like three. So those two guys, we'll get into that here in a second. Here's the call.
77-63. And Juwan Howard not going over immediately to shake hands. Now he's going to get in the line. Interesting finish here. 77. Oh, see, and they're going at it.
Oh, yeah.
Howard and Guard are not happy right now as the two of them continue to have words. We told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo, and Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh, my God.
Trying to get separated, and there's no doubt it all stems from the timeout by Greg Guard. Now, that's not an excuse for this, but that is what angered Juwan Howard, and it spilled over into this. And you saw Howard and Greg Guard nose to nose.
I knew he was... I wouldn't be happy either, but there's no excuse for this. Absolutely not.
Zero excuse. Zero. This cannot happen.
So that's what happened when it jumped off. Now, here is Greg Guard after the game. Wisconsin head coach Greg Guard was interviewed by the broadcast team, and they brought up the incident.
Greg, congratulations on the win. Before we talk about the performance, take us through what happened after the game in your eyes.
Well, apparently he didn't like that I called the timeout to reset the 10-second call. Because we only had 4 seconds to get the ball over half court. And I didn't want to put my backups. I had all my bench guys in the game. I didn't want to put them in that position of scrambling with only 4 seconds. So I took a timeout, and it got us a new 10 seconds and helped them, you know, get organized to get the ball in. And he did not like that when he came through the handshake line. So I'll leave it at that, and the tape will show the rest.
So he called a timeout to help his guys get I think he probably called a timeout. Maybe that was it. You know, maybe that was it.
I saw that.
How much time was left when he called the timeout?
Less than 20 seconds, I think. Overall, I think. Something like that, right? How much time was left on the clock?
I'm just letting it play. I don't want to get out of there personally. I also left the Super Bowl in early fourth quarter when Tom Brady had the greatest comeback of all time.
You because make I wanted mistakes to make sure sometimes.
Yeah, so you can't judge everything by me, but no. I wouldn't have called a timeout. I'm letting that play out.
Some people say, wouldn't it be a teaching moment for your kids to try to break the press? Why you say, particularly in a game that doesn't mean anything? It's your backups. Let's see if they can break the press.
Same thing, though.
No,
you could say timeout and discuss. What are y'all doing? You got to – like, it might have been a teaching moment.
I just saw that some people take the stance that Juwan is teaching his team that, hey, you have poor effort all game.
Did you read the comments like I did? I thought it was so terrible.
No,
it turned into almost a racial slash political whatever, where everyone came to Juwan's side who was black. The white guys were. The bottom line is Juwan did something he shouldn't have done, and he's going to get suspended. And I don't have a problem with a coach's scrum. That happens all the time. I see coaches getting the dust ups. I've seen it a lot of times. You can't reach out and physically do something. That's going to get him suspended. And more importantly, Diabate is going to get suspended for throwing multiple punches. And then I couldn't make out the Wisconsin player.
I think it's number zero. Whoever number zero is for Wisconsin, he's going to catch something.
He's going to, too. There's going to be suspensions. This is Juwan's fourth incident. It's his second major one. He got into it, a big issue with Mark Turgeon last year in the middle of the bubble when fans weren't in there. He crossed outside of the coach's box. They had words. there was they had to be separated. The two teams kind of came together. That's going to play against Juwan Howard. Juwan's got to keep his cool. He cannot reach out and strike somebody. And I heard people say, you can't put your hands on. That kind of stuff is not like – the bottom line is Juwan can't do that, and he's going to end up getting suspended. The other stuff to me, that's coaching business. Y'all can fight about that stuff. I get it. Juwan not liking a timeout, I totally get that. That is part of the – and I'm okay with certain unwritten rules if it's understood inside your own sport and it's a mutually agreed upon thing. I'm sure the pressing thing is probably – not considered cool. As a matter of fact, I saw that on Twitter as well. A lot of basketball people saying you're not supposed to be pressing when you're down that amount. If you don't want people responding in kind with timeouts or to, you know, to keep scoring. Juwan Howard, here's Juwan Howard talking about why he ended up throwing hand and trying to, as you said, Dell, crush a beer can basically with the face of Joe Krabbenhoff.
Well, basically, I addressed with the head coach that I will remember that because of that timeout. And for someone to touch me, and I think that was very uncalled for him to touch me as we were verbalizing and communicating with one another. So that's what ended up happening. That's what escalated it.
And then Juwan, and here's the apology. Juwan Howard ended up issuing. You didn't know he apologized.
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, he ended up issuing an apology.
I want to say I'm sorry for the things I've done. And I try and be stronger in this life I chose. But I want you to know.
You don't get canceled for that. That man was in court.
Isaiah Johnson, who's one, I think it's Johnson. He's become famous for, he's just really funny on Twitter. He's used that gif like three different times, and every time with the perfect timing, the perfect apology timing. If you've never seen it, there's a guy in court who's actually cuffed, and he's at his sentencing, and he sings to the court. And it's one of the funniest things you've ever seen. And Isaiah Johnson put that out there, and he's like, here's the apology from Juwan Howard. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he did it again.
You know,
his timing is impeccable with how he comes up with different gifts.
I know people are up in arms, but I just hope that
– or memes or whatever.
I just hope that we get like a play-on type deal. Like, you know when a soccer ref sees a foul but plays the advantage and he does this – And just goes along because he wants to play the advantage. Can the Big Ten just do the soccer ref thing and go play on?
Yeah, I'm not, and let it go.
Yeah, I mean, give Juwan like a reprimand. Give everyone a reprimand.
What do you think's gonna happen?
Look, the players will catch a couple. I think the players who threw punches will at least get a game, maybe two. Yeah. Juwan might get suspended for the rest of the regular season. You think? How many more?
No. I think Juwan gets two games.
But how
most.
Many more games do they have left in their regular season? That's why I said
oh,
so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many they have left.
I think they are going to make. They cannot have physical altercations between coaches. And players, too, by the way. It turned into players. You know what? It's going to be at least two games. You might be right. The entire regular season into the Big Ten tournament. You might be right about that. Because they are going to make a.
They have five games left.
Hold it. We got a break here because we got Mike Gennetti from Spot Track coming up, and I do want to get back into this. But he is a salary cap expert who's got some phenomenal information on how the Texans can maneuver around with Laremy Tunsil and Deshaun Watson because I think they're both leaving. Maestro Dobell's not leaving anywhere. As a matter of fact, I got a tweet over the weekend, multiple tweets. One guy said, hey, Lance, I'm trusting you here. I got this Cristalino Maestro Dobell. I'm bringing it to a guy who's giving me these awesome tickets, and I want to hook him up because he's a tequila guy. Hopefully he'll like it. I tweeted back, let me know how he loved it. He loved it. Multiple people were commenting on the añejo is the best. I'm not even a tequila drinker, and this is the only thing that I have because it's so good. And blah, blah. I mean, Maestro Dobell has so many varietals. I've been telling you guys this, and there is a big group of people who are huge stands for Maestro Dobell, whether it's the Cristalino, which is called the Diamante. Maybe it's the Añejo, which has a little bit of smoky smoothness to it. The Reposado, which is phenomenal for cocktails. The Smoked Silver, the Silver. There's so many different varietals to choose from. So whether you're just a margarita drinker or a tequila sipper, you're going to find the Maestro Dobel that is perfect for you. 11 generation of tequila makers have your back with Maestro Dobel. Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquor is sold, Maestro Dobel.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:35 here on the bench. It's Lance Zierlein and Del Olale. That's right, it's Del, if you're just checking in. And joining us right now is Mike Gennetti. He is from SpotTrack, which if you ever want to see contract information on the Rockets, the Astros, the Texans, anybody for fantasy football purposes, for mock draft purposes, you're trying to figure out free agency, this is the spot to go. It's phenomenal, and wanted to get him on the air and talk about a few different items that are pretty important right now, especially to Texans fans. Mike, first of all, fantastic site, and how did it start up? How did SpotTrack come up?
I appreciate you having me. So you mentioned the Astros there. I was actually a big baseball guy growing up. And, you know, the Alex Rodriguez contracts happened kind of right around you, the big Texas contract. And I just got really fascinated with these big numbers coming out of baseball. And I was having to kind of scour the internet to find all this information and the breakdown. So I really just started a blog to start tracking that. And then the NFL locked out in 2010, and there's a brand new CBA. And I decided to kind of dive myself into that. And here we are with, you know, 11 sports and, you know, millions of players and lots of work on our end. But we're having a ton of fun with it. I appreciate your nice words there.
Yeah, how many did you guys sell to anyone? Are you part of another group?
No, just us. Just okay. Kind of hanging on here in the neutral zone. So it's,
well, you will eventually your hustle will be rewarded at some point. without question. I think y'all have premium stuff also, so that certainly helps out. So really great spot. Make sure you check it out. Let's get right to the Texans. So we always talk about Deshaun Watson, what will happen when Deshaun Watson gets traded from a draft pick standpoint. What is going to happen to the Houston Texans when and if Deshaun Watson gets traded from a salary cap standpoint?
The good news is that this is a pretty basic contract. You know, it's one of the simpler quarterback contracts we've seen over the past few seasons. So the small signing bonus means that Houston won't be taking too much back. You know, obviously legal stuff. I mean, he may be literally paying some of that back at some point, but you know, if he's traded at some point this offseason, you're going to free up the $35 million salary. That's going to transfer to the new team. And, you're going to take on about 15 and change in terms of dead cap. So it's, you know, for a starting quarterback in the league who's 27 years old, to be able to move on that contract with those kind of numbers means you did something right contractually speaking. So I give him a lot of credit for the structure of this contract. It makes today very possible.
Some would argue that it's so basic because it was Jack Easterby who negotiated it and didn't know how to create. Because certainly the Texans didn't negotiate it with the idea of let's make a contract as friendly to trade him as possible. That was certainly never the intention. The $15 million, is it all going to get hit right at one time, or are we going to see, or do they have a chance to spread it out over two different seasons?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, there's a chance to do that if you trade him after June 1st. But that's playing with fire, in my opinion. Obviously, the legal stuff might take that long, so that might have to be the case. But generally speaking, with these quarterbacks, teams want to know March, April that they have their guy in house before the draft, before other issues come arise. So, I would expect it would be a 15 and change all in 2022. They wouldn't spread it out, and it'd be an earlier trade this offseason.
Okay, let's assume that trade happens. We in Houston are also talking a lot about whether or not they could move on from Laremy Tunsil's contract and potentially get a first-round pick for Laremy Tunsil. Do you have the cap room? And of course, you can't know this because they got a zillion one-year contracts going on. But from what you can ascertain, could you trade Deshaun Watson? Could you afford to trade Deshaun Watson and Laremy Tunsil and take on the dead cap in the same season, and what does Laremy Tunsil's cap issue, what does that look like if he were to be traded?
Yeah, there's a little bit over 16. It's very similar to Watson. There's about 16 and change on Laremy Tunsil and, you know, almost 16 on Deshaun Watson. So it's a similar situation. Now, the Tunsil one, you might be able to wait till after the draft. You probably want to know you have your next left tackle in-house at that point, and I would say that, you know, if you're trading into a team like a Cincinnati or a Baltimore who's been rumored, they want to know that their free agent situation worked or didn't work out the way they wanted to. But from a dead cap standpoint, look, we just had the Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl with the fourth highest dead cap and the most cap allocated to quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. So I don't think anybody's really too worried about taking on dead cap, especially in this kind of bridge situation that the Texans are in with Nick Caserio. So I think going backwards makes a little bit of sense financially speaking. And I think you know, the Watson trade, the Tunsil trade, maybe a Brandon Cooks trade, they're kind of inevitable to me at this point.
Mike, you mentioned the Rams, which leads me to the Saints, not because of pass interference calls, but because of what you wrote on your website. You have a couple of articles, one about the Saints, one about the Rams, about freeing up millions of dollars of cap space. And the Saints are looked at as a team who's going to lose everybody because they have no cap space. But you've written this detailed piece about how the Saints could keep a lot of their stars, particularly guys like Teron Armstead, and actually save themselves some money doing it. Could you speak on what the Saints' process will be to not completely gut their team and actually keep those guys and stay under the cap?
Yeah, honestly, I'm able to write the piece because I've been following the Saints for 15 years, and this is what they do every single year. It's like an annual tradition that they get themselves 50 to 60 million in the red and have to dig themselves out by the middle of March. So, we're talking 8-9 contract restructures, which is status quo for them. We're talking a couple of extensions on some of those guys in the fifth year of their rookie contract to lower that cap hit. You can do some gymnastics on that kind of stuff. And then there's, of course, a couple of cuts, the Bradley Robies, you know, maybe some of the special teamers, just to get yourself cap neutral. But, you know, it didn't take me long using kind of their philosophies to free up over $100 million of cap space by March 16th. Now, that doesn't make them, you know, destinations for free agents still. I think they're still maybe going backwards, not forwards in that division. But from a cap standpoint, it really is pretty easy using some push-it-down-the-road philosophies to free up what you need at the time you need it.
So that leads me to my next question, because there's a writer who covers the Dolphins who consistently says the cap isn't real. Like, sure, the numbers will freak people out, whether it be the money you have or the money you don't have, but the cap isn't a real thing. It just is about how much the owner takes a hit when it comes to the dead cap and spending. Is the cap real, or is it always something that can be managed?
It's always something that can be managed, but there's a hitch, right? The reason it is what it is because the league salary cap continues to rise at, you know, $10 million plus per year. When that doesn't happen, that didn't happen last year for obvious reasons, that's when these teams that constantly do the push it down the line mode get stuck. And that's why the Saints really had trouble last year, had to move on from two or three guys they definitely did not want to. And you saw what happened from a standing standpoint. So you are playing with fire, but at the same time, there's a lot of positives to doing what they do, which is kind of pushing right up to that line every single year. Number one being, it's a negotiation tactic. If you don't have cap space and your players come to you and say, we need to be extended, now you have this leverage point to say, look, we're up against it. We want to keep you here, but, you know, this is the Patriots way. This is the Eagles way. This is the Saints way. It's just kind of how these teams have operated. And for 10 plus years, it's worked.
Mike Gennetti joins us right now from SpotTrack. Before we let you go, I got a couple other guys I got to hit on. That's the quarterback position. The Indianapolis Colts have a bazillion dollars worth of cap space, as they always do. So obviously moving on from Carson Wentz would not be a big deal in terms of taking that on. But do you anticipate them finding a suitor for Carson Wentz in a trade, or do you think it's inevitable that they'll end up having to cut him?
I do think it happens. I think it's a pay to trade kind of situation. So if he's worth $15 million guaranteed right now, are they paying $7 million of that to get him out the door to get a draft pick back? Probably. I think a team like Tampa, a team like Carolina could consider that at some point, maybe Washington. And then I just take the other $8 million that's left on that 15 and sign some kind of veteran, sign a Teddy Bridgewater, sign somebody who's got some experience to kind of round that roster out. I don't see them just outright releasing him and paying $15 million to let him walk into the street, but crazier things have happened at this position. There's no question about it.
Last question, Matt Ryan. This is one that I always assumed when I was working on mock draft stuff last year. I always worked under the assumption that this would be a year that the Falcons would cut Matt Ryan for cap purposes. Now, it does. I don't know that doesn't feel like that's an impending move. However, we don't hear people talk about trading for him that much, and I wonder if that might be a situation now with Matt Stafford winning a Super Bowl, if people might look at another quarterback who's been around for a while and who's a pocket guy. What are the cap ramifications of Atlanta dealing Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I think you're not hearing about it because the Falcons simply can't do it yet. They have restructured this contract four times, and what that means is if they want to trade him in early March, which is what they would want to do, it'd be a $40.5 million dead cap hit to the Falcons to trade him, just to take him away. So they don't want to do that yet.
After June 1st, could it happen?
Yeah, it's possible after June 1st. They'd simply take it on 25 this year and 16 next year. But, you know, if there's some kind of compensation back that's worth it, I tend to think he sticks for one more year. I just think that contract is too ugly right now, and he's going to have to play this one out. But certainly, you know, after the Stafford situation, he's next in line for that kind of move.
You can follow Mike on Twitter at SpotTrack, SpotTrac. And you can find their great work for all the salary cap stuff. You can find dead cap. You can find salary cap information spread over the contracts, spread over multiple years. It's where you find contract information. So, Mike, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for the heads up and the great information.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we are going to get into something that you hinted on a little earlier, you touched on, and that's LeBron James had made some news. And this really creates an interesting hypothetical for many bad basketball teams to consider. And it involves LeBron James and his son. When we come back, we'll dig deeper into that one. It's Del Ole is right next to me. Tyler's inside the glass box. And I'm Lance Erline. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's The Bench.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
7:50 here on The Bench. 7:50 here on The Bench. A little bit shorter segment, thanks to Mike Giannetti. We'll get back to some of the Juwan Howard stuff at 8 o'clock, but the big news out of Cleveland at the All-Star game is LeBron James came out and said, hey, I just want you guys to know that whoever wants me, if you draft my son, wherever my son plays, I'm going to play. So if when Bronny comes out, did you find where when Bronny James can come out?
Bronny is, I can't believe I'm referring to him as Bronny.
What's his real name?
LeBron James Jr.
He's LeBron Jr.
Okay. So that's Bronny. What I figured.
But
so,
he's Bronny because... Yeah. You know, differentiate.
Right.
He is a class of 23 kid, so he will be going into a senior year. He'll graduate and be eligible to play next year.
24 is when he can play in the NBA for the first time.
Yes.
So that is just
and
2 years away.
And when I said be able to play, I mean college.
Yeah, that is 2 years away. He's got 1 year of college unless the NBA changes it. It goes to no college. LeBron came out and said, I am going to play with my son. This has been something he's really wanted to do. And LeBron has played 18 years. Pretty incredible. LeBron is probably, it's LeBron and Tom Brady in terms of the most amazing durability and just ability to play as long as they have. 18 NBA All-Star appearances, NBA record, LeBron James. 18 seasons in the league. That's pretty incredible. He's still in tremendous physical shape. Probably the greatest physical specimen we've ever seen on a basketball court. I'm not even sure there's anyone else that would even compare, because when I talk about it, it's not just how he looks. It's his explosiveness, his strength, but also the fact that he has held up for this long. It's a testament to how he works at it. I mean, he really does. There's some stuff I don't like about LeBron James, but that dude works his ass off at his body and his game. He has to still be playing.
And I want to clean up the timeline a little bit. I was thinking of how college football works, where a class of 23 kids will be eligible after this upcoming season. Bronny won't be, because Bronny won't play
23-24,
right?
Well, if your class of his high school class is 23.
Yeah.
So that's 22, 23. So he won't play. That's next year.
So he won't be playing college basketball next year. It will be the year.
No, 23. They start in the fall.
No, because the class of 22 isn't even on campus yet for college basketball.
No, no, no. But he will be playing if you graduate in 2023, which he's going to.
Yeah.
His basketball season will start in 23. It'll end in 24. Then he will be drafted and technically start NBA in 24.
I'll have to do the math in my head. But he won't be playing college
basketball. Trust me, Dell. I'm a numbers guy.
He won't be playing college basketball next year.
Why? Oh, no, no, no. No, he'll be a senior next year.
Yeah, so
he
won't be playing college basketball next year.
23, 23.
So LeBron will have to hang on for...
Oh, yeah, until the beginning of 24 is what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, it's technically the season will end in 25. So LeBron's still going to have to hang in there.
Yeah.
So it's not happening... Okay, so here's the question. LeBron James said, money doesn't matter to me. So that means he can go on a league minimum if he needs to. I'm sure he doesn't want to, but I'm sure he could do that and go play for... the Detroit Pistons. Go play for the Houston Rockets. Go play for who, anybody. Now, you're going to get a LeBron James at that point that is, what, 39 years old?
He'll be 40? An unrestricted free agent at 39, yes.
At 39. You're going to have 39, 40-year-old LeBron James. Right now, he's playing at a very high level. He might be playing at a good level even then. I mean, if there's one guy that I would not, that I doubt that he will just fall completely off the map, it's LeBron James. I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
You know, I wonder if they have plans to reclassify Bronny, like make him a kid who can lead.
Come in early.
Come in, can get that year of college or away. Maybe it's a year in the G League out of the way, so LeBron doesn't have to wait till he's 40 to play with
his
kid.
What about graduating early? I guess next year it's
reclassify. You graduate early.
Yeah.
That would have to be already be kind of in the – you can do that over the summer, actually. As long as he makes a decision early enough, he could be part of – he could play college basketball next year if he reclassifies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's their plan. But if they wanted to speed that process up, because he's already 17.
Which would probably – but now if he does not get his education – what is Bronny going to do?
Yeah, that is a great question.
If Bronny does not get his degree and does not sit in class, what is he going to do for a living? What is he going to do for money?
We know how important education is, because how could Cal McNair run the Texans if he didn't go to Texas?
Rice. He went to Rice Business School.
He went to both.
Shout out Rice Business School. You're responsible.
I don't think they like that being out there.
That's what happened. Do you think teams would draft if they didn't think Bronny, because I'm starting to hear buzz that maybe Bronny's not as great as we maybe infer.
I did look up his ranking.
Yeah,
he is a top 34 player according to one site.
That's
a good player.
I would have thought he'd be top three. Maybe
That's
not what I would have thought. I mean, I've heard so much about Bronny.
Well, he's a 6'2" combo guard. You're not gonna be unless you're right now he's listed at 6'3", 190. Let's say he's 6'2", 1.5.
That's De'Aaron Fox. Like, he's not, that's not LeBron size. And he's not going to be LeBron size.
No, I mean, it's too late for that.
We've got somebody who's involved in AAU just texting us. How about if Bronny isn't that good? That's the question is, if he's not that good, will somebody draft him just to have a 40-year-old LeBron James and to get the buzz? Because you will sell tickets for 1 year. It'll be sold out. For the full year.
You will. I'm just looking at where he's ranked. 24/7 Sports has him as the 52nd best player in the country. There's a composite ranking that they have, which means they combine rivals, ESPN and their own, that has him as the 34th best player. So I don't know which schools have actually offered him scholarships. I'm just looking at what his ranking is, because on his college list, no offers are listed. So I'm not sure, because, you know, his interests are Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina. It says none of them have offered him yet, so I'm not sure who has offered him or not.
That's surprising that no one's offered him.
No, I'm not saying no one has. I'm just saying at last check, the top four schools that he was allegedly interested in have not offered him a scholarship. I don't know who has.
With Kelvin Sampson?
I mean, why not?
They got back in the right column over the
weekend. Does Bronny play defense?
I mean, if he doesn't, then that's... I mean, do you want Bronny to play defense and get tough? If LeBron wants him to play defense and get tough, then you send him to the University of Houston.
Well...
He's going to be soft, center to Kentucky.
I'm saying, is he Kelvin Sampson's type of player? And we know LeBron doesn't like Houston. Remember?
No, he doesn't like Houston.
So I don't think he would have his kid come here. He didn't want to spend time coming to games here.
He's a card carrying, don't like Houston.
And you think LeBron wants to go to Wichita to see his kid play?
I wouldn't think so. No, I think he wants his son to go. He wants his son to go to Ohio State.
Probably.
That's where LeBron wanted to go, or that's where he tries to rest.
Or if he wants to spend another year effing around with the Lakers, go to UCLA or USC.
But I do think that, yeah, that's true. That we could see that. But I do think LeBron wants his son to go to college because LeBron, I think, he's even said he missed some of the. I think he would love for his son, instead of playing in G League or overseas or whatever, I think he would want his son to have some of those experiences. Because let's face it, his son is not going to live a normal life. He hasn't up to this point, more than likely. I don't know that for a fact, but you're LeBron James' son. So I think having a college experience would probably be pretty cool. I don't know if is it like a president's or a former president's child where you have bodyguards and Secret Service around you if you're on college campus?
I don't know if he'll have Secret Service.
It'd probably be a lot
private
like,
bodyguards?
Private security, maybe.
Private security?
It'd probably be a lot like J.R. Smith going to college and playing golf. Like, everybody knows he's a super rich dude, and he just can do whatever he wants.
Does Bronny get stipends if he goes there? Like the other
He's on
college
scholarship.
Player?
Yeah.
He'll probably have some Walk crazy on. NIL deal, too.
Of course. He'll have that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Are we worried about Bronny's money? Is that what we're worried about?
Gatorade's giving Bronny.
Are we concerned about
Pepsi, whoever he switched over to, is giving him like a $50 million deal?
Are we concerned that Bronny
I'm not concerned about anyone's money but Lance Zerline.
I really hope Bronny comes out and pulls a what was the kid's name? Not Kimba. Who was the point guard who followed him at Connecticut? What's his name? That LeBron forced the Heat to take, and then LeBron still went to Cleveland.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Right.
What was his name?
Oh,
they won the title.
Yeah.
I need Bronny to come out.
You need to draft him.
No, Bronny comes out. We're the Hungry Huskies. Remember that guy said that because he said they were starving? I hope Bronny does that. We're starving.
I remember him. Yeah, and LeBron made Miami draft.
Yeah, and then still Shabazz Napier, yep. And then he still went to Cleveland.
Yeah, that was rough. Yeah. Napier ended up turning into an all-star.
Did he?
Nope.
No.
All right, coming up next, we get back to Adam Silver had some comments about he basically talked to the Houston Rockets over the weekend and said, I sure am disappointed with the Houston Rockets. That's just, and the Houston Texans. That's basically what Adam Silver said over the weekend. We'll give you his comments and give you context coming up next. It's The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You know, SiteJab is a company that builds websites from the ground floor up. They build the front end. They build the back end. They can integrate e-commerce into your site. They can do video production and put that on your site. They turn your website into an interactive billboard that can also generate business leads, and you can even convert into actual cash. They can do all these different things: branding, social media management, creating logos for you. There's a suite of products they offer, and if you go to sitejab.com, you can see a portfolio of their work, sitejab.com, sitejab.com. This is a chance for you to get the very best, have the very best website that is designed to keep people on your site, to have them engaging, and to have them turn around and turn it into actual money for you. Make sure that you check out the website for yourself at sitejab.com, sitejab.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell him again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!